welcome in Shane Orling, Pat the Designer. Actually, apparently I'm hosting with Cam Newton today.
You like it? You like
the fit? If you're not watching on Twitch and YouTube, Pat is in a blue sport coat with a fedora.
I don't know if this counts as fedora. Is this fedora? It's more just a hat.
More just flabber. Z-Pack, it feels like a fedora, a little bit.
It's not quite a fedora. The fedora is shaped differently.
Yeah.
It's like you look like the Undertaker.
I'll take that.
You look like Cam Newton.
I'll take that as well.
Which, listen, that's probably a compliment.
Boys, both guys that are well paid.
100%. Just walked in today, and look, this is the second day in a row. We did the Chicago Bears podcast, Phil, on the ESPN Chicago app yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's gotten into you with the suits, but you are making everybody you host with look slovenly by comparison.
You look great, dog. I keep telling you, you look great.
I'm in a old navy hoodie and blue jeans, and I'm standing next to a guy who's dressed like Cam Newton.
It's all about how you put it out there, dog. Kanye West would sell that outfit right there for $1,500.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
That one alone?
Yeah, Pat, it's a good day. We don't need to make it a bad day. It is a celebration today. Because the Bears did something I don't know that anybody really believed that they would do, whether you thought it was the right decision or the wrong decision. They went out and got the guy.
Yeah.
The guy everybody seemingly wanted. The guy that was going to cost the most money. The offensive mind and not the this guy called plays for six games and choked in the playoffs, Matt Nagy, but the guy who's led the number one offense in football over the last three seasons as the play caller, and the Bears went out and got him. They've paired their young quarterback with an elite offensive mind.
100%.
And that's the way the league is. That's the way this is done. This is big boy football. I think yesterday, for me, there's two things. One, Kevin Warren is the biggest winner of the day. He just is. You had a situation this season where you had to make multiple decisions you've never made in the history of this team. One, you had to fire a head coach in season. That didn't happen before Kevin Warren was here. He came here. It happened.
Yep.
Two, you had to go out and shop at the very top of the shelf, the highest paid guy, who I don't know what the actual number is. I've seen all kinds of numbers online, but it sounds like it's a lot of money. At least $13 million. Like, you had to drop a bag to get this dude. Another thing this organization historically has not done.
Yes.
Did not do before Kevin Warren got here, has now done it. That Kevin Warren's here. He's the winner of yesterday. Whether this works or not down the road, we got years to talk about it. And I do say years. We're going to have months to break down how this becomes successful and what Ryan Poles needs to do to surround Ben Johnson with adequate personnel. But today is a party. Today is a day where Bears fans, you guys deserve this, man.
Yeah.
You just saw your team do the thing that you never thought they would do. They went out and bought the best guy. And not just that. You're also going to go out and get a former head coach to be an assistant. You're going to put a former head coach on the staff. That is wildly important.
Yeah.
You're hiring a first-time guy, and you're going to assist him with a defensive coordinator, in all likelihood, Dennis Allen, who is a former head coach. So you will have the leadership chops everybody wanted on the staff. It checks every box. Offensive mind, check. Young head coach, check. Somebody developed the young quarterback, check. Get a head coach on staff who's done it before and understands what it takes, check. Can help him along the way. And you may still have the ultimate dagger behind your back. You could poach Hank Fraley from the Detroit Lions. You could weaken the division rival and the reigning division champs even more than you already have. This is big boy football.
Yep.
And I'm so impressed that the Bears actually went out and did it.
100%. Listen, this is one of those days where you should feel proud of the people that you have up there. We haven't had many of those during this season. We haven't had many of those during the offseason. I still don't know if I agree with the way that they went about getting here. But guess what? I was the kid that could do some of the math in my head and just put the answer down on paper. other kids had to show their work. I didn't feel like the teacher needed me to show my work, and the teacher would usually give me a bad grade because of it. The Bears went about the show your work path, had a bunch of names out there, had a bunch of people they wanted to interview. They wanted to figure out what they were looking for price-wise, name-wise, head coach-wise, but they knew that they wanted to end up with Ben Johnson. They went out and took the big shot, and I love that this team actually did what we've been begging Shane, not just a team, every team in Chicago to do. Spend money on the big name guys that are going to actually improve your team. Spend money on the best GMs. Spend money on the best head coaches. The Chicago Bears have done something that I don't know if we've seen another team in this city do in quite some time. And to me, now the big thing that you have to do is go out and support that head coach, get him the right pieces in the building, get him what he's asking for. If you paid this big price and Ben Johnson says, hey, buddy, maybe don't take a dude that kicks footballs in the fourth round. Don't sit there and go, well, wait a minute, we got a weapon on the team here. I don't know if we want to do. Let Ben Johnson cook. You brought him here. You paid him the big money for a reason. He has seen what it takes to build a winning football team. I understand the Lions didn't get the job done at the end of the day this season or last season, but 15-2 was a lot of wins. That means that you have to have a good team on the field. At the end of the day, we can look at the Lions and go, oh, they lost, and why should we believe that he's the guy now? He put up 500-plus yards of offense and still put up 30 points in a losing effort. Might have something to do with the fact that not only just about every one of your starters, but most of the guys that you said he's good enough to go in as a backup are on IR. That might be a problem in why you gave up 45 points and lose that game. Ben Johnson, to me, is the big fish. He is the big name. He's the one that you wanted to see paired with Caleb Williams. And now your front office, your owner, who we heard, I saw this report yesterday that George, kind of uncomfortable, yeah, had to spend a little more money than he wanted to spend.
That's different.
That's very different.
But again, that's why I think Kevin Warren's the winner of the day. Because I really, look, man, we saw it with Ted Phillips for how long. They had a way that they operated. They had a way that they did things. And for Kevin Warren to come in here and George to like reportedly be uncomfortable with the amount of money that they're spending, but having the ability to just say, you know, screw it, we're going to spend the money and we're going to get the guy. This is who they want. Let's get him. That to me is a philosophical change that Kevin Warren has to have inspired. That's Kevin Warren flexing his muscle and going, if you want to do this, you're going to spend money. Otherwise, why'd you bring me here?
What did we talk about last time too, right? We said Kevin Warren is trying to do billions, not millions.
Yeah.
That's what makes this different to me.
The goal is to become a global brand. The goal is to be, and you can't just do it by running it like a business. You have to win. You have to be successful on the football field. That's how you grow. Like, I always get so angry in sports when I hear people talk about, well, it's a business, and then there's the football operations side of it. And those two things are different. No. Your business is football.
Yeah.
It is. And when you're getting when the league's getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars per game to sell them off to Netflix and Peacock and Amazon Prime, you know you got to spend money. It's not acceptable anymore to not do it. So the fact that the Bears woke up and did it, that's a change. That's change that Kevin Warren has to have inspired. He is the difference. Like, the common denominator of George McCaskey is still there. Yeah. The change is Kevin Warren. And I know that people are harsh on him. And look, he's got to get the stadium built. That has to happen. If there's not a shovel in the ground in 2025, that's a disaster. But today, he did the right thing. Today, he got the organization to behave like an actual NFL team. Enough with the mom and pop. Enough with the family business stuff. You went out and you got the big fish in the biggest pond. That's enormous. Yeah. And to me, if you're not happy today, you're looking for reasons to be angry. Because look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, well, they hired Ben Johnson, so now they're going to go 11-6 next year. They're going to win the NFC North. I don't know how it's going to go.
Right.
I can't predict the success. I know one thing. in a year, if we're post-morteming on a 6-11 season, I'm not going to have regrets about the guy you hired or the process that you took. If this doesn't work for whatever reason, well, then you just chalk it up as something that failed. But the process was right. You got the most expensive guy. You got an elite offensive mind to help develop a young quarterback. You're set up the way you need to be set up in the NFL. You took a forward-thinking, analytical coach in a league that has gone fully that direction. No more of the T formation.
We're done with that. We'll see. I've seen guys who looked like they had great offensive minds walk in the door, and all of a sudden they're like, "How about we line the fullback right behind the running back and right behind the quarterback?"
The point I'm making is it might fail, but you can't be upset today about the process. You can't be.
Unless
you're one of these dopes that's hanging on to Mike McCarthy for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I was 16 years old the last time Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. I'm 30.
I think here's my thing. I'm not going to sit here and say, I agree with you that you went through the right process. I agree with you that the Bears are doing things differently. I agree with you that they are changing how they think up at Halas Hall. And I love all of that. Where I do differ is we're saying today, if it fails, at least you went out and tried. That's not Ryan Poles' job. Ryan Poles' job is to get it right. Ryan Poles' job is to evaluate all of these coaches. And here's the thing. It's not just get it right. You got your guy. You were all in on Ben Johnson. You were excited about Ben Johnson coming in. You canceled everybody else. You said, hey, y'all out there, we don't need y'all. Go home. We don't want to talk to you. We've got it. We've got our guy. We've got the big name. I'm fine with you doing that. When you do that, you do have to be right.
Yeah, of course.
When you go through the drafts, when you go through all of these things, when you're very as confident as we saw the Bears last season, there's a reason Bears fans were like, dog, like what the heck happened here? You were telling us this team was going to be hard to make. I'm not going to sit here on the radio and tell you that if Ben Johnson doesn't work, we shouldn't be upset about it if somebody else does work. That's just the NFL.
No, I can't get on board with that. If Ben Johnson doesn't work here and Mike Vrabel has wild success in New England, I will not go, "Oh, you missed. You were never hiring Mike Vrabel. He was slated to New England." If Jacksonville hires Liam Cohen and he has more success, you hired the biggest fish. You made the most aggressive move. If it doesn't work, we will blame the people that it fails for. But I'm also not going to sit here January 21st, 2025 and tell people, well, now we just got to wait and see.
Yeah.
And we got to wait and see what happens, because if this doesn't work, well, then it's another failure by the Bears. No, dude, let's celebrate the fact that they actually did things right. Today,
I think
if it doesn't work a year from now, we'll do those shows. But today, this process is right. It's different. It's new. It's fresh. And it's the way the NFL is going.
No. Today, you should be excited. Today, BJ Day. This is a great day for the Bears because it caps off everything that we thought we were seeing. Remember during the season, we're like, okay, they fired a head coach in season. They've never done this. Is there change coming? All right, maybe there's more change than we think's coming. It seems like Ryan Poles is possibly getting fired here. Maybe there's a ton of change coming. Okay, we fired a coordinator. Are they really changing how they want to do things? We're hearing the reports coming into the end of the season that the Bears are clearing themselves and preparing to spend more money than they've ever spent before. Shay, if we're being real, you're talking about bringing in Dennis Allen, possibly. You're talking about bringing in Dan Rizzi. Like, these are names.
This is big time.
You're talking about putting together a staff that, when you're talking millions, are we saying we're getting into the $30, $40 million range for a coaching staff just on the top names, not even the guys underneath them? That's something we've never seen this Bears team do before. Celebrate that, Chicago. I can't go along with, if it fails, we can't blame them. But I can go along with, you should be excited today. Mike McCarthy felt like Carlos Boozer. Carlos Boozer was a great player here. Love what he did with the Bulls. We wanted LeBron, Chris Bosh, and D-Wade. Well, we wanted LeBron and D-Wade. Carlos Boozer was the consolation prize. Mike McCarthy was somebody that you could say came in, yep. Hey, look, he's going to get you some wins. you're going to be good. I don't know if he wins you a Super Bowl. He makes you a respectable organization again. Maybe he changes the way you do things. We wanted Ben Johnson. If you went out and you got a Joe Brady, you're kind of having that conversation. But the entire time, you wanted Ben Johnson.
Yep.
But Joe Brady looks like Ben Johnson and how he does things.
However you ranked it out, if you had 1A, 1B, 1C, you hired 1A.
Yeah.
That's
celebrate that.
Important. It is. 312-332-3776. Want to get your thoughts on this, your feelings this morning. It's BJ Day. I've never woken up upset about a BJ. I'd love to hear somebody who has. I really would love to hear somebody who's upset today about hiring Ben Johnson. I think it's crazy if you are.
I loved BJ Armstrong.
It's a little crass.
It's his initials.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about?
Football.
You don't love a BJ in football?
Hey, yo.
Ben Johnson, the new head coach of your Chicago Bears. It's the first time that they've taken a shot. 312-332-3776. Your reaction. Paulie is in the loop. He's been patient. Paulie, what's going on?
Great show. You guys make good team.
Thank you, sir.
I have called you 10 times and you would own my house. You would own my car. You would own everything. There was no way in the world I thought Ben Johnson was going to be signed by the Bears. Enough to where I'm impressed by what they've done. They got to follow through now. You have to buy two offensive linemen. You got to draft two offensive linemen for starters. You got to get a better defensive line. I heard that George was kind of shamed into this. The Tyreek Stevenson situation, they had voted to fine him a game check. And George McCaskey, DEI committee, they vetoed it right away. They tabled it. And that's when they lost the team. And now Kevin Warren has stood up to George. And I can't believe that Kevin Warren is going to be the hero in this. I am totally impressed by what they've done. I'm shocked.
Paulie, it's my biggest takeaway from the entire thing. And it's they're behaving differently because that guy is there. And I can be underwhelmed with a lot of what Kevin Warren has done.
Yeah.
Up until this point, it was a lot of sizzle, no steak. But he just dropped a filet off at my table.
On BJ's?
That's totally different metaphors.
Okay, all right.
Out to dinner is a completely different metaphor. All right. Where's your head at?
I'm just enjoying the show, man.
Listen, Timu Cam Newton over here giving me garbage.
Don't you give credit to who you took that from the chat.
Am I
give
wrong?
Give credit from who you took that
they
from the chat.
They took it from me. I called you Cam Newton the minute the show started with the ridiculous hat and the absurd suit.
Hey, listen. I look good.
As long as you tell yourself that.
Hey. That's what they say. Here's the big thing at the end of the day. I agree with Paulie. There was a surprise in this. There was a surprise around the league. Right?
Nobody expected this.
No one expected this from the Chicago Bears because it's so different from what the Bears do. It's so different from how the Bears operate. This is something we've never seen from them. And it's something that was said. It made George uncomfortable. Now, I also agree with Paulie in this. You can't stop here. You have to keep going. You have to invest in this team.
But
you have to invest in these trenches. You have the money to do it. Because here's the thing, Shay. What have I said time and time again? Your beef is that you went after wide receivers and you didn't go after the line. You could have invested that money in the line. My beef is you could have done what you didn't want them to do and invested money in the line and went out and got somebody for either side of the trenches. You could have drafted guys. You could have traded for guys. You could have signed guys. You can't do that anymore. You went out and spent big money on the big fish. Don't win the offseason. Give Ben Johnson what he needs to win games.
100%. But look, man, I think the reality is you hire a guy like Ben Johnson and you pay him the amount of money that you do and you're spending to find his assistant coaches and you're not shopping at the middle shelf or the bottom shelf. You're shopping at the top shelf with guys like Dennis Allen and Dan Rizzi. And who knows who the OC is going to be? Is it going to be Hank Fraley? Are you going to really stick the dagger in the Lions and poach their OC coach or their O-line coach to be your OC? You get a little bit of an advantage. This is why I always wanted a play caller.
Yeah.
I wanted an offensive mind and a play caller to be the head coach of this team, because now your OC position can be used to poach elite position coaches from other teams, and it might be the division rival that just won 15 games. You can neuter them.
Yeah.
You can take all of the pieces that led to their offensive success and rip them away. Sorry, your toys are gone. Like, that is how this works. If you steal Ben Johnson and Hank Fraley,
yeah,
and make Hank Fraley your OC, which is low stakes because he's not calling plays anyway, you can basically make him an OL coach with an OC name.
Yeah.
Like, that's the advantage you get from hiring a play caller. It's not just the fact that if you have offensive success, he's not going anywhere. It's also this spot that you have on the team where you can poach elite position coaches. This is a massive advantage. And if they succeed in it, then why would I expect they're not finally going to get serious in free agency? And I would just look, man, they've done it before. The Khalil Mack trade and extension shocked the world once upon a time. That was this organization at a time where they didn't have somebody in the president role that was flexing muscle enough to get them to spend at the very top shelf on a head coach. So why should I not believe they can do it now? Why should I not believe they'll get in the Micah Parsons market if one becomes available? Why should I not believe that they will involve Ben Johnson in what he wants, which will be the line of scrimmage when addressing personnel in the draft? You're paying this guy top dollar. He's going to have a voice in the room.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest takeaway from it all, Kevin Warren got him to do it, right? The fact that this is the route they went tells me Kevin Warren and George got it done, and now they're getting the F out of the way. Let Poles and Ben Johnson put this thing together.
Yeah.
And if it fails, you're going to get rid of Ryan Poles. You're going to get a new GM, and Ben Johnson will still be here to help the young quarterback. Like, it just, this is the right process.
And the
whether it works or not, we'll wait and see, and we'll do those shows if it does, or we'll do those shows if it doesn't. But today, I there's nothing negative I can say.
No, and the part that is exciting is it seems like you're bringing in other former head coaches who have been in the NFL. That means they have staffs. That means that they have worked with guys who could possibly come in and be your O-line coach. We saw it didn't last as long as maybe we wanted it to, but we saw Lucas Patrick turn into a good player down in New Orleans for at least the first 6-7 games of the season, and we were all like, what the heck is going on down there? What did they figure out? Maybe you bring in Allen's offensive line coach, right? Like, there's all of these things that are now available to you because you're spending like a real organization, and you're not sitting here letting the fact that you have to throw a few millions of your billions away to get the best of the best in here. I think that I've said this, like, this is Kevin Warren saying it's easier to build a stadium. It's already hard. The Kansas City Chiefs are struggling to get a new stadium. They've been to so many Super Bowls, and they're struggling to get a new stadium. It's definitely got to be hard if you got 4 wins. For us to get this stadium done at a rate we want, we need to spend the millions so that we can get to the billions. I love that this organization is finally starting to operate this way. I love the fact that you said everybody else in the equation is still here. The only thing new is Kevin. And this is this his biggest day as the Chicago Bears president? Is this his best day as the Chicago Bears president?
Undoubtedly for me. Like I said, man, it was all sizzle, no steak, and now there's steak. Like, you can say all the things he said. We're going to build a world-class stadium. Yeah. Well, last I checked, the shovel's not in the ground yet.
Yeah.
We're going to hire a world-class head coach. Well, I don't really believe you until you do it. Well, now you've done one of those things.
Yeah.
It's the first time that the decision has met the message.
And Shea was proven right. He said this is the most coveted job in football. This will be the most coveted job in football. When you get the number one guy, and before all of that, head coaches coming out of the woodwork, former head coaches, guys who have won Super Bowls, guys who have been a part of good organizations going, I'd love to coach here. I mean, Mike McCarthy took 2 interviews here in the Saints. I want to come see what you got going on up there. Would love to get some stuff done. Pete Carroll, I'll come back. I get it, the age, but we both said if he's 50, we want Pete Carroll. 100%. At 73, I don't want Pete Carroll. Yeah, I mean, 74, he's going to be. But Pete Carroll, a great head coach like that, wanted to be a part of your organization. Kevin Warren was proven right and got the best guy for the job. This is a win for Chicago today. Now, don't stop now, as Hawk Harrelson used to say. Don't stop now, boys.
Yeah, you got a lot of work to do. I think we could talk about that a little bit at 11 coming up as we're in for Greeny this morning. Shane Orling and Pat the Designer, 312-332-3776. Are you celebrating today the way that we are, that the Bears have done things differently? Or are you a little more reserved? Pat, I think I can put you a little bit in the reserved camp. You got to see more. This cautiously is a huge optimistic success, but you've got to see more to really feel like this is the celebration I think I'm making it out to be.
Yeah.
To me, I've seen enough to believe that they're doing things differently.
I've been
here I'm impressed by them today. No, you haven't been here before.
This is Wani. Wani was the hottest name. Wani was the number one name. Wani was a phenomenal coordinator. He was not a good head coach. I also can say Wani wasn't given the greatest pieces in the world.
True.
That's where the disconnect came from that situation. I don't know. I wasn't in that building, but from what I saw, he wasn't a great head coach and didn't have the best talent. Ben Johnson may end up being a great head coach. Are you going to give him the talent? Now, that's kind of that question. When that talent goes away, can Ben Johnson still be that guy? We saw that offensively. Can you be that guy defensively? Because we always talk about these offensive gurus, Shay. Kyle Shanahan, offensive guru. Sean McVay, offensive guru. They've got some of the best defenses in football. They have had some of the best defenses in football. So we could say you're an offensive guru, but at the same time, you have to have something great on the other side of that ball as well for you to get to Super Bowls, for you to win Super Bowls like they did in L.A. Yes, he gets Matt Stafford in there and everything changed. Don't tell me Aaron Donald wasn't the dude that got the last sack of the Super Bowl.
Should have been the MVP of the game.
It's about being great on both sides of the ball. I have seen this before, but you have to do the things differently than what you did when you had the hot name, the hot coordinator, the number one guy before. You had Matt Nagy. He was the hot name, and I get it, six games, but he was the hot name that cycle. He came in and he had Mitch Trubisky. Is Matt Nagy look different if you go back in that draft and Deshaun Watson's on this team and not
Mitch?
Come
on, you know what I know. Matt Nagy wasn't Frank Reich in that cycle. Like, you hired the guy who called plays for six games because Andy Reid wanted to do him a favor, and he had an all-time choke in the playoffs, and he didn't even have the bloom of Patrick Mahomes on him because he was coordinating Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Like, it just, this is different than Matt Nagy. The Matt Nagy comparison, it's just, if you hire a coordinator, then they're forever Matt Nagy. If that's the way you want to go, then that's what it is. No matter who it was, if you hired a coordinator, it was Matt Nagy. And that's probably the same guy that's hanging off of Mike McCarthy.
But what changed? Because remember, year one, he's coach of the year. Year one, Ryan Pace is executive of the year. Year one, you're 12-4. There was a visible change that next season that every defense recognized.
Well, I think the offense was a bit of a mirage in year one, too. Like, he's coach of the year. They have an elite defense. Khalil Mack has this incredible year. 100%. You made the big trade. You win
probably
the division.
Probably should have been Vic Fangio's award.
Yeah, and then the offense was a little miragey. It was a lot of the trick play stuff. Now, if you're worried about that with Ben Johnson, I get it. But I would just say get on board because we know it's coming. We know they're going to go on fourth down. We know they're going to run trick plays. We know they're going to get creative pre-snap. We know that they're going to do certain things to make life easier for their offensive line. And yeah, I think there are certain concerns pairing Caleb with Ben Johnson, who had success with the ultimate pocket guy in Jared Goff, the ultimate on-schedule player, now taking a quarterback in Caleb who plays off-schedule all the time, who has all of his best stuff happen off-schedule. I think there's got to be a little bit of a marriage there where Caleb is willing to accept, I have to play in rhythm. I have to play in time. I have to play on schedule. But it's not like we've never seen that before. This is part of why I wanted Joe Brady as well as Ben Johnson. Yeah. Like, they were my 1A and 1B. Joe Brady got Josh Allen and sent Josh Allen the message of stop doing all of this stuff. We're going to have you play on time. And when we really need you, that's when we'll cut you loose. But we are going to play this simply. We're going to make your life easier. And he's become a way better player.
Yeah.
And I think when you see Ben Johnson and the Detroit Lions with Jared Goff become the number one scoring offense in football, you got to give him credit for it.
Well, I think you also have to take into account as well, right? The difference for me with Nagy to this situation is I don't think with Caleb Williams, defenses are going to be able to go, oh, let's make him throw the ball, see what he does.
Yeah. Let's make him throw passes in the NFL and see how good he really is. Oh, dang it. All right, we got to go to all the trick plays. Like, Caleb's going to be able to operate there. I think there's a want for Caleb to operate in not outside of the pocket. I think there's a want for him to actually be in the pocket. I don't care what PFF says. I watched Braxton Jones get sacked with his quarterback this season. I've never seen that. Like, I get Caleb Williams defending them as well. You need to upgrade the trenches. You need to upgrade the offensive line. Jared Goff looks a heck of a lot better when he's not under pressure. C.J. Stroud was an amazing quarterback last season. Didn't look like the same guy this season. Why? He's running for his life back there. The trenches are important. And I think if you do bring in with Ben Johnson here, now if he's like, okay, you got to stay here, trust the pocket, but also we're going to build you a pocket for you to trust. I think that's going to be the biggest difference in Caleb Williams' development from year one to year two.
And look, the Braxton Jones thing, I think it's more likely than not that he is your left tackle. The tackles at the top of the draft project more as guards. Maybe you kick him inside. I don't want to geek out too hard about it, but I do find it funny how a lot of Bears fans will say, Braxton Jones is trash. I don't care what PFF says. And then in the same breath cite that PFF has Darnell Wright as the fifth-ranked right tackle in football. So, like, you can't take it and leave it.
I don't say it for both. Accept. Both your tackles are question marks. Darnell Wright did not have a good season.
I think that, come on, he was pretty good. I think they're both pretty good. I'm not telling you either of them are elite or great, but when the interior of your line is as bad as the Bears is, when you've got revolving doors at guard and you have a center who's not a center, it's almost impossible for a tackle to do their job because you have to win one-on-one every snap. It's impossible. You're getting no help. So just
I would agree with that.
Fix the interior and we'll see what Braxton Jones actually is. If you get him a guard to play next to him that has any ability, then we can find out what he actually is.
I would agree with that if he also didn't look bad with Tevin Jenkins out there, who arguably was your best offensive lineman this year. He also looks bad in those moments.
When
Caleb Williams gets sacked with Braxton Jones, that's because he's getting pushed through. Look, with Tevin Jenkins standing there blocking his man.
You know how I feel, man. Sacks are a quarterback stat for a reason. I get the chart flying around that Caleb avoided 50 sacks. He got sacked 68 times, guys. You can't get sacked 68 times. It's going to be the number one priority for Ben Johnson in growing this kid as a quarterback. Stop taking sacks. Stop. Get the ball out. Play on time and don't get sacked. And they will do things to make the O-line's life easier. They're going to do a lot of pre-snap motion. They're going to try to confuse the defense. They're going to try to bait defensive fronts into places where they want them. They're going to make life easier. That's what he's done in Detroit with Jared Goff. I have no reason to believe he can't do that with Caleb Williams. And I just, the sacks, they got to stop. Yeah. That's priority one to me for Ben Johnson and Caleb. Now that you hired him, the first thing you got to do, obviously fix the personnel, get the offensive line better, but you got to get this kid to stop taking sacks. You have to.
No, I agree with
you. And the rest of it'll come. 312-332-3776. PJ's in Lakeview. He's been patient. PJ, what's going on?
PJ.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick question. I'm more of a casual fan, and I'm certainly excited for this hire, but can you explain to the casual fans why we should be as enthusiastic as everybody else is? I guess my perspective is, that this man, this Mr. Johnson, is coming from an offensive coordinator position to now a head coach. Why should we be excited to have someone with no experience as a head coach to come in and to right this ship, so to speak?
PJ, I'll never really understand why automatically the head coach with experience is inherently less risky. We see them fail twice all the time.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels had head coaching experience when he went to the Raiders. He failed. Like, Frank Reich had head coaching experience when he went to Carolina, and I don't think he was treated particularly right in Carolina, but he was fired after 8 games.
Yeah.
Like, the experience thing, it's all a crapshoot, man. It really is. And I look at the playoffs this year. You've got first-time head coaches like Kevin O'Connell and Dan Campbell winning 14 and 15 games each. You've got first-time head coaches like Matt LaFleur dragging the deadbeat Packers to 11 wins.
Yeah,
this is what wins. And yeah, you got to get the defensive coordinator position right. But if we believe what we're being sold, it will be former head coach Dennis Allen in that role, which means you will have a former head coach on staff.
I think you also got to be excited as well because, like you just said, they're investing in putting people around him that know what they're doing. The terms of what the Bears are doing reminds me of what the Warriors did when they brought in Steve Kerr. Everybody was like, well, why aren't they sticking with Mark Jackson and blah, 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 blah. They wanted the best staff in the NBA so that they could get over the hump. Steve Kerr walked in. I think he had three former head coaches on his staff to help him learn how to be a head coach in the NBA his first time, and he wins a championship. That, to me, is what the Chicago Bears are doing in football terms here. You're bringing in former head coaches. You're bringing in guys who have done it. You're bringing in guys who, in those moments, you can turn to and say, okay, this is something I didn't have to deal with. How did you guys deal with this? And bringing in guys who have different strengths and weaknesses that may not be your strength and weakness. A lot of times with these coaching staffs, everybody brings in who makes them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
That's not what this is going to be. There's going to be some things Ben Johnson is not going to be good at. I guarantee it. Every head coach has something they're not good at. Andy Reid's one of the best head coaches of all time. Clock management was his biggest problem forever. It still is.
He's terrible at it.
He's three Super Bowls in. He's been to four. I think he's got somebody on his staff who helps him along to get that little extra oomph that, okay, this is not my great spot. I'm going to need some help here.
Made official yesterday, a big move. And boy, has it deeply affected the Lion fan out there. Pat, I don't know if you've been paying attention to social media, but this is a sign to me that you did well with this hire. Not that I needed more. Like, this to me is an absolute win. You don't need to qualify it. We don't need to talk about how it turns out. The process is a win. And you have utterly busted the brain of a fan base of your division rival. These people, Lions fans, who were treated to the two best years in the history of the organization, watching this dude's offense, which has been great for 3 years. It's been the most entertaining watch in football for 3 seasons, this guy's offense. It's just been fantastic. And this year was the culmination. It was his magnum opus, his masterpiece, what he did with this Lions team. And it failed in the biggest game. The game plan was wonky. I blamed Ben Johnson for it. I thought he got away from Gibbs too much. The result, obviously, catastrophic. The one seed to lose at home to the sixth seed in their first playoff game. Your reward for your best season in franchise history is goose egg playoff wins. That's brutal. But 4 days ago, before that game happened, Lions fans would have bottled this dude's sweat and drank it. They would have sipped out of his bathtub with a straw. And it has taken us to, starting last night, every time I see a Lion fan weigh in on Ben Johnson, it is, this dude is the worst guy who's ever lived. He's a horrible human being. That's what they're saying about him. They're saying he's a bum, he's a loser, that he was not focused ahead of the playoff game because he was taking, wait for it, Zoom interviews.
And building a staff.
That he was too committed to building a staff to worry about the game on Saturday. He screwed us, and then he left us high and dry. They are acting like he is the ultimate supervillain of their fan base, of their life as a Lion fan.
Yeah.
People who suffered William Clay Ford as their owner are acting like Ben Johnson is Satan incarnate because he has left them, because he did what everybody does. He took interviews to be a head coach, and surprise, spent his bye week figuring out who his assistants would be.
Yeah.
Duh.
Not even that, Shay. He left you after coming back to you, though.
Right.
Twice. He gave you two more years.
He came back to you twice.
I'm trying. I want to win here. I want to be with you. I love you, Detroit. This is the best part of this. I think, and I don't know. We had a conversation on the Chicago Bears podcast. I have standing beef with Detroit. So I don't know what they know or don't know up there. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of smart on the internet with this process. Do they not know you have to have a coaching staff in place to take head coaching interviews?
It's not confirmed, these are the exact guys I'm going to hire, because you do have to interview those coaches, but you have to have a list of, okay, who's your offensive coordinator going to be? Who's your defensive coordinator going to be? Who are you thinking to bring in at the offensive line? Who are you going to fill this? Like, I know this as well, because we just had Greg Gabriel on the Chicago Bears podcast, and he was laughing about this as well. Like, people are upset about him not having his staff, or having his staff already in place. You have to. You're not getting a head coaching interview if you don't have a staff in place. What? I love it. I love it. I love relishing in the tears. You want to know why? Because it just goes to show you, no matter how much success he had there. And by the way, in your time there, he was the fifth best offense, and the best offense. They will turn on you if you leave, no matter what.
Yep.
And he, oh, by the way, his last game there, he gave you 500 plus yards of offense and 31 points with Jared Goff playing one of the worst games of his life.
It's just so funny to me, man. The way that they are now slandering him into being a horrible human being. They literally would have drank his bathwater 4 days ago.
Kevin Durant, Scarlett Johansson style.
If I had offered a Lion fan Ben Johnson's bathwater 4 days ago before the Commander game kicked off, they would have drank it. And now he is their devil.
Who's the fan base that is more in pain right now? Is it Lions fans or is it Raiders fans? Because I don't know if you saw the Raiders fans online.
Do you know what?
They were 210% Ben Johnson was coming, to the point I had guys in my Breeze chat, Pat, saying, keep Ben Johnson's name out of your mouth, like they were Will Smith to Chris Rock.
They never had him, though. That's the difference. Like, they deluded themselves because of reporting and the fact that Tom Telesco got fired. Look, man, if you want the conspiracy theory aspect of this, did Ben Johnson screw the Raiders harder than he screwed the Lions? Did he have an interview with Tom Brady that Tom Brady got duped into thinking went so well, they effectively leaked this hire's a done deal, despite multiple national talking heads or reporters going, it's not really done. Everybody in Raider camp is like, this is over. They fired their GM. And Sunday night, who'd they interview? Lance Newmark, the guy most linked to Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
I genuinely, like, tin hat on, conspiracy theory Shay, did Ben Johnson get Tom Brady to fire his GM and interview the guy most connected to him, fully believing he was getting Ben Johnson, and then just, oops, I'm a bear?
Listen.
It's incredible stuff.
Is this a bigger win than when Nick Foles beat Tom Brady here in Chicago? Is this a bigger win when Tom Brady forgot that it was fourth down? This is massive. I mean, remember how confused Tom looked on the field? He's what? Fourth down? What?
This might be the best you've beaten Tom Brady.